So we continue on in chapter 6 of John's Gospel, the Bread of Life discourse that I mentioned last week. We'll have a little interruption on that next weekend because it's the feast of St. Mary MacKillop and she has particular readings. And then after that we have the Assumption. So we've got a little pause there and then we'll come back to this Bread of Life discourse in chapter 6 of John's Gospel. Last week I mentioned the main players as the miracle of the loaves and fish took place. And I particularly drove home the role of Philip and Andrew. And, of course, the crowd. Now, it must have been a bit disconcerting for Jesus, I think, as we follow on in the Gospel, because now he's gone off, he's headed a little further north around to Capernaum on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. And the crowds go looking for him and they follow him. And eventually they say to him, "What sign are you going to give us? They have just been fed. 5,000 have just been fed. A miracle. They picked up 12 basket loads of scraps and took with them." Have you ever asked, what happened to those scraps? Well, I suspect the disciples took those 12 baskets with them, because that miracle wasn't over, because Jesus journeyed north and they knew that they would need to be fed. So I suspect that they probably kept them, but nothing was wasted. And so they get to the next site, and here we go again. They are certainly the descendants of the Exodus people, aren't they? They start grumbling. They say, "What sign will you give us? He's just fed them this miracle, and they're asking for a sign." So there's a real disconnect between what they experienced and what Jesus is doing. A real disconnect there. And he must have shaken his head a little bit, I think. I mean, oh, what more can we do? So clearly they've had their belly filled, but nothing's touched their heart at this stage. And this is not one person, this is a crowd of people. So it must have had an impact, I would think. One of the traditions that the church has inherited goes way back to the Greeks and possibly a little bit before then. Before the Greeks would go on a journey, the family would pack a little meal for them. We're just things of the essentials for them to take with them, and then they would go on their journey. That eventually translated into things that were placed with the deceased so that they would have what we call food for the journey once they had died, so that they had the strength to cross over the river Styx and then enter into eternal life. Now that word, food for the journey, that word is actually viaticum. And viaticum is the last sacrament that a dying Christian receives. It is when the priest or the deacon, but normally the priest, would come in. And it's the priest that anoints and gives communion, holy communion, the bread of life, to the person who is dying. And it's called the last rites, mainly in the movies, but it's only that because it very often is, for the seriously, seriously ill, the last sacrament that they will receive. This is the food for the journey, viaticum. Let's look then at the journey of our life and the role that the bread of life, the master of life, plays in our role, and plays in our life rather. Now it seems to me that somewhere along the line we as a church, especially those involved in education, which starts with parents and then we have systems in place, seems to me that we haven't done very well with helping our people understand what does the bread of life mean. Because if we did, they would be lined up, people would be lined up to get into this church. There'd be more than two masses on a Sunday, because people would understand that this bread that they receive, the body and blood of Christ, is actually what sustains them in their life. But somehow or other, as you can see, we haven't got that right. People, for the main part, it seems, of all of the Catholics that we have educated on understanding the Eucharist, if we'd got it right, they would be here. So let's ask ourselves, why aren't they here? Have we not got our education right with understanding the significance and the meaning of the bread of life? I know it takes faith. Faith is a hard one to explain to young people because it takes an inquiring mind, and it takes a mind that has this level of maturity that says, I don't have to have all the answers, but I've got to have the intent, and my intent is to come close to God. That's the starting point for Eucharist. We pray for miracles, but I don't necessarily expect them every day of my life, but we certainly pray for them, particularly in the lives of those that suffer around us. The Eucharist, the bread of life, affects our life primarily, as I look at it, in three ways. We could look at it physically, emotionally, and spiritually. If it doesn't, then that might be explaining all of our empty seats, particularly with those of the most recent generations that we have educated. We haven't got the message through, because if they understood the significance of how their life is supported on the journey, how this viaticum, this food for the journey, will sustain them, they either believe that or they don't. If they believed it, they probably would be here, but something has kept them away. So let's look at the physical side of the Eucharist. Now, I know that most of you, as you receive the Blessed Host, aren't going to say, well, I'm glad I didn't have breakfast, because this will fill me up. That's not going to happen, is it? And even now we can't share the chalice under COVID. So you're not going to get that morning ping like you do with your coffee. So the physical side of the Eucharist, there's got to be something more to it, because it is physical. This is real. This is not imagined. We're not role-playing. So this is real. So what is the physical side? The physical side, as I see it, is actually the four ways, as I mentioned before, that Christ is present in the Eucharist. And the first is you people gathered here. The second is the word of God. The third is the elements of the bread and the wine that we bring forward. And the fourth is the priest. But the physical side of Eucharist is actually the people gathering. So we are fed by each other's presence here, centred around the presence of Christ, the real presence of Christ. That's the first thing. So you may go away with a little grumble in your tummy, but you go away supported by knowing that you are not on this journey alone. The first thing, we are a community. That's what affects us physically through the Eucharist. Second thing is the emotional effect that the Eucharist has in our lives. So what is that? How does the Eucharist physically, the body and blood of Christ physically, how does it affect me emotionally? Well, for those that have never felt loved, truly loved, they know that in receiving the body and blood of Christ, that they are experiencing the greatest love that they ever could. It's hard to fathom, because we don't go away seeing skyrockets and feeling warm and guzzy, as they say. We actually go away feeling what love is. And love, the Eucharistic love, is very difficult to describe. Because what it is for me will be different for you. For a child that has experienced being hugged and kissed and affirmed and warmed in their life and encouraged, that child knows love and will grow to be able to give love. If that is taken away or not given to a child, then the child will grow to be, in a sense, kind of emotionally sterile. That doesn't happen with the Eucharist. We are embraced, because the body of Christ enters into us physically. So it's not a routine. We are not here out of fear. If you're out of fear here today for Eucharist out of fear, then there's really no point, because you believe then that God is the God of thunder. Now leave that to the Greeks and the Roman gods. We're not here out of fear. Certainly we use the word obligation, but don't translate that into fear. I am obliged. I need to be here. I need to be fed. I need my community, and I need my emotions charged up so that I can love God and love neighbour. That's why I need Eucharist. And the third area is what I would say our hunger for the spiritual in our life. Now, to be hungry for things spiritual, it seems to me that our younger generation certainly have that hunger. That seems to be my experience. They are searching for something very, very deep. The younger generation's sense of social justice is quite profound from my experience. Now, we need to get that profundity and that experience connected to Eucharist. I'm not sure that that's happening. They have a good heart. They have a very sharp mind. But where is the body and blood of Christ in that living out? It's more than just doing good so I can feel good. It's much more than that. It has to be something that powerfully connects to the world and something that is beyond the world, beyond my grasp. That's what Eucharist does to us spiritually. So we have a hunger physically, we have a hunger emotionally, we have a hunger in our spiritual search, that we want to touch our soul. We have those things there. It is the Eucharist, the real presence that we believe is with us in the body and blood of Christ, that allows us to satisfy those hungers. Our challenge, I think, at this time is to make our young people, particularly those who we took through every sacramental program, to perhaps re-educate, but perhaps we have to reintroduce them to what the Eucharist really is. It wasn't a box that we ticked so that we could get on to the next sacrament and then get out of here. It wasn't that at all. If we put the emphasis on obligation as opposed to a relationship, then we probably got it wrong. So let's challenge ourselves at this time, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, to make sure that we satisfy our hunger so that in the food, so that in the journey of our life, we have the right food. We have the body and blood of Christ. We have the Eucharist to give us the insight and the energy to feed the world. That's our challenge. And I'm not being critical of what we have and haven't done before. That's not the point. My point is that in the bread of life discourse, in the understanding of what Eucharist is, we must be fed and we must feed. We must feed the world with the body of Christ.